I want to say that it's very, very good to be with you this morning, as Brother Eddie said, and thankful for the invitation to be with you this week and next week also in the month of November. I'd like for us in our lesson this morning to just kind of reflect back for the last year and a half. And think about all the changes and all the things the last year and a half have brought to us. And I've titled our lesson this morning, I Sure Do Miss. And again, reflect back on the last year and a half. I sure do miss, or I sure have missed, and how would you complete then that sentence? I sure have missed. Some would say, I sure have missed going to work. Some were lost their job, at least some temporary, some permanently during that period of time. And some had to learn how to work at home and so on for their job. I sure have missed seeing my buddies at work. I sure have missed many of my friends, seeing my friends during this period of time. I sure have missed being able to go shopping during this period of time. And maybe some of you still are very, very careful about where and when and the time that you go shopping now. I sure have missed being able to go traveling. And I know for Carol and myself, we're very, very careful about that still, about going traveling. I sure have missed seeing my family. Both of our two sons and their families both live out of state, and it's still up in the air about Thanksgiving and about Christmas time and so on, if we will or we will not see our two sons and their families. I sure have missed going out to eat at restaurants and so on. And again, we're still very careful about what time we go to make sure that we don't go when we think the restaurant or the fast food place is going to be crowded. We try to go at a time that we think that there won't be many people there. I sure have missed going to ball games. And at one time, of course, seeing them on TV. And we have chosen not to go to any ball games, and we still don't go to ball games because of the crowds and so on. We could go on and on with things like that I sure have missed in the last year and a half. But are we missing something in our list? I hope for all of it is this. I really, really missed attending church services in an assembly like this. Now, I know that for this congregation that, I hope I give this correctly, that you met in your cars outside for a while and you did not have Sunday night and Wednesday night services for a while. And we know many congregations shut down altogether. Some still are not meeting in the assembly like we are this morning. They're still meeting in their cars and so on outside of the building. And then some are meeting inside the building, but if you choose not to come in and be in your car, just various ways and so on. And I also know that perhaps some of you had the coronavirus and you weren't able to come for a period of time. Some were quarantined because you were around someone that did have the coronavirus, and so you weren't able to come for a period of time. Maybe some of you were scared, and as the church here assembled back inside, you decided for yourself you were not going to come and meet publicly for a period of time. And so in this list of I sure have missed, I hope that for all of us, we could say I really, really missed attending church services as we are this morning. And oh, how much I missed it. Well, I want to ask you a question. How much did you really miss it? And then another question, what did you miss the most about it? In Psalm chapter 122, verse 1, the psalmist said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I pray that is my thought and my attitude and my heart. And I'm so, as Brother Eddie said in his opening announcements, I'm so glad to be here this morning. I hope that is your thought, and I hope that is your attitude, and I hope that is what is in your heart this morning. The lesson text I want us to use is found in Acts chapter 2 that was read a few moments ago. And especially I want us to look at verse 41 and verse 42. Luke records for us, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then verse 47, they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Verse 41 and 42, it tells us that about 3,000 of them were assembling together to worship God, and they were steadfast in that, is what Luke says. Let's go over to chapter 4, verse 4. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. And then let's go to verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they all had things in common. And so Luke says, speaks of them as a multitude of people. And then the fifth chapter, verse 12, it says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. They were meeting together at Solomon's porch to worship God. Solomon's porch was about 80 to 90 feet wide. It was about 1,800 feet long. So it would accommodate thousands of people gathering together as they were to worship God publicly. In the fifth chapter, verse 40 and verse 42, it says that when they had called for the apostles, this is the leaders of the Jews, and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. And so opposition to the teaching of the apostles, opposition to Christianity began. In the sixth chapter, verse 7, we're told, then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And so as opposition grew, the church continued to grow. And then we read in the seventh chapter about the death of Stephen, and then Acts chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. Let's read that together. Now Saul was consenting to Stephen's death. And at that time a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off many women, committing them to prison. Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Very important question now. What did these early Christians miss the most with worshiping with the Jerusalem church? Remember, it was thousands of them gathering together to meet and to worship God. Now they're scattered everywhere. They're not meeting with the thousands anymore. What did they miss the most? Have you ever thought about that? Did they miss the singing together? Did they miss the praying? Did they miss the apostles preaching and teaching? Did they miss the Lord's Supper, meeting with thousands of fellow Christians? What did they miss the most? As now they're scattered abroad, and they're unable to meet together by the thousands. And so again, I ask you this morning, what did you miss the most in not assembling together as we are here this morning? In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, we have the commandment as far as assembling together as Christians. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so he said, do not abandon your public assembling together. And so we answer the question, well, why? And what do we miss then? And I'm asking you, what did you miss the most? Number one, was it the public worship to God together? Going back to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. He's speaking about them meeting together publicly to worship God. Now, again, I know as we speak about congregations and we speak about us as individuals and we speak about this congregation, and some of you missing, even missing with being in the cars and so on, again, for various reasons. I know most of us, if we were unable to attend, we privately worship God in various ways in our homes. Maybe with private devotions, maybe watching church programs on TV. Currently, from 7 o'clock to 8:30, there are 4 different Church of Christ programs on channel 17, no, not 17 anymore, 30 and 18, I think that's correct. And then in the Sunday afternoon, there's another Church of Christ program on. Carolyn, I've already watched 1 hour of Church of Christ programs this morning before we got here this morning. And so maybe that's what you did. Maybe you were listening on the internet. Maybe it was a Zoom live streaming of lessons and so on. Or maybe it was out in the parking lot in your own automobile. Again, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. In John chapter 4, verse 23 and verse 24, Jesus said this about worship and true worship. He says, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit. And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Oh, there is something wonderful that happens when we gather together to worship God in spirit. And when we worship Him in truth. And I want to say this to you. I miss being a part of that. Congregation where Carol and I were attending at Shoals Branch shut down completely for about 6 weeks. About half the congregation had the coronavirus. And so for about 6 or 8 weeks, then we didn't attend anywhere. We were at home. And I sure missed assembling together with the saints on the Lord's Day. Praise God that we live in a country where we can openly and freely and publicly worship God. And we do not need to take that for granted. There are millions of people in our country today. Their greatest delight would be to stop what we're doing right here this morning and that's assembling together to publicly worship God. Thank God that we have that right, and that for each one of us we have this desire to be together to publicly worship God this morning. Well, again, in various ways and various circumstances for some of us, we were unable to do that for a while, and for the entire congregation here, you were in your cars, but you were unable to assemble together in here. Well, what did you miss the most? Number two, the singing. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul says this about singing as Christians. He says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say this to you. Oh, how I missed the public worship service in singing. Again, we watch the public worship in song on TV. Some of those programs have assembly singing. Carol and I sang together privately, but nothing replaces the congregational singing in the public worship service. I love to sing. Now, I didn't say very well, I just said I love to sing. I love to sing praise to God. Singing lifts a service up. Singing lifts a sermon up. Singing brightens our spirits. And I want to say praise God. Praise God for the public gathering together to worship God. So praise God for that. Number three, what did you miss the most when you were not able to assemble together in here like we are this morning? Some might say, well, I miss the congregational prayer the most. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, Paul says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 8, I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And I want to say to you, oh, how I missed the prayers in a public worship assembly. Now, did I hear prayers on the TV set? Yes, I did. Did I pray myself? Yes, I did. But again, I want to say, oh, how I miss the prayers in a public worship assembly like we are here today. Carol and I decided after I quit preaching regular over at Liberty Hill, we decided that we would go back and visit churches where I had regularly preached. And so we began, church by church, at least once a month to go back and visit churches where that I had preached regularly. And what a joy it was to once again hear those men lead the church in prayer. What a joy that was. Of course, the coronavirus stopped that plan that we had. We stopped being able to go and visit those churches and so on. In James chapter 5, verse 16, James says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. To lead the church in prayer is a great honor. To lead the church in prayer also is a great responsibility. Praise God for public prayers in our worship service. What did you miss the most in being able to assemble together in this auditorium as we are this morning? Congregational preaching. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, the Apostle Paul says this about preaching. He says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. And then in chapter 2, starting with verse 1, he talks about his own preaching as he was there with the church at Corinth. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Again, did I watch, did I hear preaching on TV? The answer to that is yes. Some very excellent preachers and some very excellent preaching. But oh, how I miss preaching the Word of God myself and sitting in the pew with God's people and listening to the Word of God preached. And so I want to ask some questions. How important is the preaching in the worship service? Now, I'm asking this to you now. Is it the least important thing that we do? Is it equally important? Is it the most important thing? Another question, can a good sermon greatly enhance the worship service? Can a poor sermon greatly diminish the worship service? And can false doctrine in the sermon destroy the public worship experience? Oh, how I love to preach and teach God's Word after all these years. And starting in December, it's going to be 50. My 50th year to preach and teach God's Word. And I'm so thankful for that. But after all these years of preaching and teaching God's Word, I still love to prepare sermons. And I still love to preach and teach God's Word. Number 5. What did we miss the most about assembling together as we are here this morning? Would it be taking the Lord's Supper with my brethren? Did Carol and I take, again, we missed 6 or 8 weeks of assembling together with the brethren. Did we take the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Yes, in our homes. Was it scriptural to do that? Well, in my mind, it was. Again, the church where we attended was shut down at the time. But I want to say this to you. Oh, how I missed taking the Lord's Supper with my brethren. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll look at verse 18. The Apostle Paul says, "For first of all, when you come together as a church." When you assemble together as a church. And then he speaks to them about how they are corrupting the taking of the Lord's Supper. Then in verse 23 he says, "For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Again, I want to say to you that for 6 or 8 weeks, we took the Lord's Supper at home. Was it the same experience? No. Absolutely no. And I would guess, and I don't want to speak for you, you speak for yourself, but I would guess for many of you, taking it out there in the cars, you would say that wasn't the same experience either. As assembling together like we are this morning and taking the Lord's Supper. Again in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they met together to break bread. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, it tells us they came together on the Lord's Day to break bread. Oh, how important it is when we take the Lord's Supper together publicly. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and let's read verse 16 and verse 17. The Apostle Paul says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" The word communion here means a joint sharing. "For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread." Listen very carefully. Again, he said, uses the word communion. It is a joint sharing of the Lord's Supper with God, with Christ, and it's with each other, my brothers and sisters in Christ. In just a few moments, we'll be doing that, and oh, how wonderful an experience it is. Communion with God and Christ and my brethren and taking the Lord's Supper is a very special, a very precious privilege that we have as Christians. And praise God. Praise God for that privilege. Taking the Lord's Supper together publicly with my brethren. I'd like to close our lesson this morning with these thoughts. Things are forever changed, is what we were told. Church attendance is forever changed, is what we were told. I don't know that I would go that far on either one of those things, but that's what we were told. But I do know this. There are still some churches that they restrict their services. They're not meeting on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Some are still meeting in their cars and so on. So there are various degrees of restriction today among the churches of Christ. In some churches, even after 2 or 3 months away, or now for some a year and a half away, some members will not come back. Some members will quit. Some will go somewhere else. Some will continue to stay at home and watch church services on TV. I have some dear friends. They told me I'm not going back. I'm going to stay at home. I'm going to watch it live streamed on my computer. Or I'm going to watch the programs on TV or whatever. I'm not going back. Some members will come out of this stronger than ever. Where are you this morning? Has all of this that's happened in the last year and a half and so on, has it made your faith weak? Has it damaged your faith? Is your faith on hold or shut down? Do you need to put Christ first back in your life again? I want to tell you a little as we close this morning. I preached this sermon at the Green Hills Church of Christ in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, back in the spring. The Sunday morning I preached this sermon to them. That week was the one-year anniversary of the tornadoes that started in West Tennessee through North Nashville, through Mount Juliet, and on up into Cookeville. And as far as the Mount Juliet area was concerned, the middle school there still has not been rebuilt. Houses have still not been rebuilt, and businesses still have not been rebuilt. And so this was the one, when I preached there that Sunday, that week was the one-year anniversary of that. So as I was standing in the pulpit, behind me about a mile or two back was where the tornado tore through that area. And so those emotions were very raw in their minds that Sunday morning. Also, that very week on Wednesday was, a year ago, was the first coronavirus was made known in the state of Tennessee, of course, from Williamson County. And so they had that to think about also. And I read this story to them. The story is told of a preacher who had attained the ripe old age of 92 years old. The elders asked him to preach one Sunday, and some of the members wondered why the leadership had even bothered to ask this old gentleman to preach at that age. After a warm welcome and introduction, the old gentleman rose from his feet and walked slowly with great effort to the podium. Without a note or written paper of any kind, he placed both hands on the pulpit to steady himself, and then quietly and slowly began to speak. When I was asked to come here today and talk to you, your preacher asked me to tell you what was the greatest lesson I ever learned in my 50-odd years of preaching. I thought about it for a few days and boiled it down to just one thing that made the most difference in my life and sustained me through all of my trials. The one thing I could always rely on when tears and heartbreak and pain and fear and sorrow paralyzed me. The thing that comforted me the most. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, we are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. When he finished, the audience was quiet, so quiet that they could hear his footsteps as he walked back to his seat. But they would never forget that old preacher that told them that the thing that sustained him the most was that he knew through all of his trials and troubles of life that he still had Jesus with him. And so I said to them on the one-year anniversary of the tornadoes tearing up their town, the starting of coronavirus as we knew it in the state of Tennessee, that through all that they had gone through in the past year, they still had Jesus with them. And I want to say to you this morning, the last year and a half had brought all kind of changes that we couldn't even imagine. We still have Jesus with us. And then second, I told them, you still have each other. And I want to say to you this morning, through all the trials and everything of the last year and a half, we still have each other. And praise God that we still have Jesus. And praise God we still have each other. What do you need this morning? As we've gone through all of these things in the past year and a half, are you one that needs to come to God through Jesus the Son by repenting of your sins, confessing Christ as your Savior, being baptized for the remission of your sins to begin to walk in newness of life? We'd pray that you would do that right now. Are you one that, again, through missing services and all those things and so on, your faith has become weak? I preached at a congregation in Cheatham County a couple Sunday mornings ago, and after the services, One of the couples told me, he said, this is the first Sunday we've been back in months. If your faith is weak and you need to come back to God through Jesus the Son, will you come right now as we stand and as we sing?